bill was made, but I did something wrong.
There's two plugins.
I don't know. Georgia.
Shut my computer.
Couldn't have talked about
it. Well, I guess it never started.
Okay, we're ready to go.
Okay.
I don't know if Zookies are watching tonight, but how about on three, we say hello, Zookies. One, two, three. Hello, Zookies. See, you are loved and missed. I don't know. Oh, okay. Would you folks believe that I started out with a full head of hair before we started messing with these things? And forward down, I'm going to be completely shiny.
Well,
figured it out. Yeah, two wires, they got to be in just the right spot. Okay, so I wish I could have that with me. Maybe somebody's already seen it. There's some new information come out from the CDC. Have you heard that? You haven't heard this one. Okay. It shows this guy standing here, and he's got a belt around him and one across here. It says, "You should now wear your seat belt outside the car." They run out of things to say about the mask, but they'll start on something new. Okay. Might as well laugh as cry about some of this stuff, right? Okay. So how are we all doing tonight? You soaking up some of that little... There was a little sunshine for a few minutes, I think, wasn't there? A little bit of warmth out there? Okay. Okay. Well, this thing's finally working now. I thought it was going to show me setting in the chair down there all night, but anyway, that's my problem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your word a little bit closer and allow it to speak to our hearts. We pray that you'd help us to be able to set aside the things that may have busied our minds prior to our coming together here, or what's waiting for us at home, and that we can pause long enough to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit, give us some things to think about, maybe something in our hearts and lives that need to be changed to be brought into line with your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Welcome back, Lindsay. All right. Okay, so we're looking at lesson number 11 here tonight. If you have your books with you, those listening in, we are looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, kind of on the home stretch here, a couple more lessons. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 11. And we started this here last week, and the lesson's entitled Living in Light of Christ's Return. You know, and it's one thing, okay, to kind of compile knowledge, understanding of what's ahead of us. We talk about the rapture, the fact that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. The day of the Lord, as he refers to it as. Sometimes people have a little bit different understanding of what all that entails, but primarily talking about the tribulation time, what's going to happen on the earth, and we've discussed that. Well, Okay, now that we know about these things, how should it impact our lives? How should our lives be changed in light of this truth? And I did get that DVD, haven't had the opportunity to look at it. I like for us to, it's an hour long, so we probably split it in half, watch half 1 week, half the next. But just kind of put it all together visually in our minds, and hopefully you'll learn some other things in the process. But in light of this, okay, so we know what's ahead of us and how we ought to prepare. What are some other things that we thought we had to prepare for? We anticipated something was going to happen. Okay, Chris?
December 31st, 1999.
Yeah, that's Y2K. Oh, the world was going to come to an end, wasn't it? All the computers were going to go ballistic. They wouldn't know how to shift, and we wouldn't have any electricity. We wouldn't have any water. You better stock up from the grocery store, you know. I come across a bin. I think that we must have had packed away for something like that. Needless to say, all the cereal would expire and everything else. Yeah, I mean, okay, so we survived that. What, you got another one?
Well, yeah, there was something too bad. It wasn't just a lot of emotion, but the Y2K, the date was a stop code. Most computers that were running systems controlling power distribution and sewage and water and so forth, they ran on those old systems. That stop code apparently didn't cause everything to stop. So apparently there were some code writers that saw they needed to fix that. The Millennium Bug wasn't a bug at all.
Say, do you think they'll ever come to the realization that the COVID-19 was just another flu?
I think the ones behind it know that.
Okay, what else do we prepare for?
I remember years ago being in a church when that book was out, 88 Reasons or something like that, when the Lord was coming in 1988. And I remember the pastor in that church, he read the book and he thought, well, I think I'm going to teach this. I'm not real sure about it. He'd always say at the end, he'd always, you know, don't go out of here saying I said for sure, you know, this is going to happen. But I'll tell you, it really did have a purifying effect. You know, I mean, thinking that could happen, you know, that maybe that would happen if he would come. And I think that's it. I think that the more a pastor would preach and teach that, the more that would have that effect on it.
Well, yeah, if we thought, I mean, okay, we know it, but getting it from here to the heart or wherever, to make a change, you know, that we believe in enough. Remember we talked about that? We said we've learned something, but we haven't really learned anything until it's changed our behavior. Well, okay, if we really believe the rapture is going to happen at any moment, it could happen at any moment. How should our lives be changed? You know? If we thought we're not going to walk out of here tonight, you know, the cars are just going to be sitting there tomorrow, you know, and City Hall will be going nuts over there trying to figure out what in the world happened. Yeah, well, and so this is kind of what this lesson's all about. Well, the first thing that we touched on here last time, we were get move along here, but was to live expectantly, you know, like, and I think we've touched on this kind of thing before, but if you've got companies coming, but you really don't know when, you know, you've scurried around, you kind of clean up the house, but you keep looking out the windows, see if they drove in yet, or whatever you're expecting, and you know it's coming, you just don't know exactly when they're going to show up. Does that ever happen with you, with the girls coming over? You know, or well, now everybody's got a phone, you know, so they can give you the heads up. Do you remember when we didn't have cell? We drove around the country and we didn't have a phone. You know, I mean, we had a dime to throw into that pay phone, and you know, maybe it had a handle on the other end. Most of them didn't, but yeah, to live expectantly, And he talks about darkness and light. And who's like the father of darkness? Satan is. And he talks about that. We touched on that 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, that he blinds their minds, okay? Kind of blinds their minds, stops their ears, you know, so that they won't hear the gospel, and keeps people distracted from what's going on. Why do they say don't text and drive? You know, because you get distracted. You're looking down here, and it's amazing how far you can go when you're doing 60 miles an hour. Yeah, you know. So, but he tries to keep people in the dark, and he can't take away our salvation, but if he can get us as believers distracted, he's going to kind of do that. And how, okay, and sometimes you get this. I haven't heard too many people saying it, but, well, you know, yeah, I know the Lord's coming back, but, you know, it's been 2,000 years, and it hasn't happened yet. You know, it's probably a long way, way down. What are maybe some other things that could get us to thinking that maybe it isn't so far down the road? Anything else going on in the world?
Everything.
Yeah, how about Israel is a country? Dude, you hear about our what is he now? What's Kerry?
Trying to make Washington a bit another state.
Yeah.
More seats.
Yeah. We're gonna change, set the Constitution away. We'll just kind of come up with Plan B here. But I'd heard this was disturbing that Kerry, I don't know if this was when he was Secretary of State or if this is something more recent, is sharing with Iran, you know, some of Israel's secrets. It's like, you don't mess with Israel, you know. Pretty soon they won't be buying Heinz ketchup here pretty soon, but maybe he'll have to go out and get a real job. I don't know. But anyway, we see here it's talking about being informed of Christ's return. And he says there's some other things that's going to happen. You know, if we know this is all going to happen, we're living expectancy. He says there in 1 John 1:7, we have fellowship one with another. Okay, so we're to be fellowshipping with one another. Touched on that. Folks, come on in. Fellowship. And the blood of Christ will cleanse us of all our sin, past, present, future. And God, what does he tell us to do? What's one of our marching orders before Christ goes back? Tells the disciples, which applies to us too. Chris?
Going into the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah, go. You can't do that from your living room. Okay? And okay, I'm not playing conspiracy stuff, but who doesn't want us to get out of our house? Who doesn't want us to go talk to anybody about the Lord? You know, and if he can do that with a microscopic germ of some kind and get everybody freaked out with masks and everything else, everybody just stay home, don't go to church, you know. You can go to Walmart, but don't go to church, because, boy, that's bad stuff over there at church. You know, I can't believe people have bought into this. But the thing is, they have. Well, another thing he says, that we're to live, and I struggle with pronouncing this, everybody else will know, vigilantly. Okay. You know what I'm trying to say. Okay. Look here. Verse 6 through 8. He says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, for a helmet and a hope of salvation. And the idea here is to be watchful. He says, let's don't sleep. And as he mentions here, this sleep here, we've talked about the rapture. Those that are asleep are going to be awakened. this is not talking about the believers that have died. This is talking about people that are sleeping spiritually. They're, as he says here, they're insensitive. They become spiritual drowsy. I mean, it's one thing. You've worked hard. Maybe you didn't sleep well the night before, and you sat there and you're kind of nodding and agreeing with me before we're done here. But here he says we're sleeping asleep at the switch. God says to be alert, be anticipating his coming, and we're kind of, And he said one of the first signs of spiritual drowsiness was what? We start slipping spiritually. We might say we're kind of drifting away. What's going to be one of the visual signs of that?
Slipping away from the church.
Yeah. Right. Our attendance is kind of. One guy used to get mad at me when they'd say hit and miss, but that's what it was. You know, we're here and then we're gone. Harold said something to me, Carol's husband, way back, and he got sick a couple times and would miss church for a little while. But he's, you know, after about 3 weeks, it's almost like it's awful easy not to go back. You know, well, if that happens in 3 weeks, I mean, it's probably different for everybody. What about if you've been gone for a year? You know. I mean, they say, what is it? If you want to create a habit, you got to do something every day for a month. Well, how about if you want to break a habit and you do it every week for a year? You know, and you're pretty well out of the habit. I was looking at some statistics. I won't get into that here tonight. But it was talking about statistics and some of the reasons. But that's one of the visual signs. Not that we start hounding people if they're not here, because sometimes, you know, I've just called. I'm sorry, I'm way off track here tonight. But preachers get in trouble. If you don't call and say we missed you, you don't care. If you do call, why are you checking on me? No, for real. You know, I did that. And they said, well, why are you calling me and asking me that? I don't miss any more than anybody else. Well, I haven't seen you for about 6 weeks, but, you know. So hit and miss in our attendance. It's basically what it's, you know, I was thinking about this today. It shows what's important to us. You know, I remember reading a story about some old guy. He was deaf, and yet he went to church every week. And somebody was asking, why do you go to church when you can't hear anything? And he says, I just want to know. Let everybody know what's important to me. It was important for him to go to church, whether he was absorbing everything that was going on or not. And it's not just punching in a clock. Oh, you know, I got my perfect attendance. And, you know, and your mind was somewhere else, doing the grocery list while you're sitting there. But it shows that it's important. And I'm thinking, if you don't go to church, and what's the likelihood of you inviting somebody else to come to church? I mean, that's happened before. People showed up, and they said, and I said, oh, you know, glad to have you and everything else. I said, oh, so-and-so here? No, they're not here yet. Oh, well, they invited me. Oh, okay. Yeah, how are they going to feel when they find you, when they invited showed up, and they didn't, you know? I realize things happen. But moral, spiritual sleepiness it can be... I don't say deadly, but very serious. Yes.
I remember a pastor saying that. He said that you make time for what's important.
Right.
And also, don't you think that what's happening with COVID and what's happening in the churches, like part of the falling away?
Yeah. Well, it was talking about that. You know, a third of the people that were in church aren't. You know, and then there's all kinds of different things, but. I mean, there's always somewhere else, something else you can do. I mean, I could find something else to do on Sunday morning. Now, I'd probably get paid if I didn't show up. But it's just the idea, you know. It's It's like when I was in between churches, I still went to church. You know, it wasn't I was trying to get my attendance pin or something. It was just, no, I wanted to be there. And as it says there in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you know not what the hour your Lord doth come. You know, remember that, I don't know if you heard that saying, out of sight, out of mind. Can't church kind of become that way too? Out of sight, you know, we don't think about it. We don't see the people, you know, and at first soon it's just.
Even the children with this learning that computer, they're not doing very good.
No,
so I think
even
spiritual realm, the same thing.
People don't, you know, they talk about visual learners and auditory learners and different things and hands-on learners, and not everybody is going to sit at a screen and soak it up. I think you're all streaming at some point. Maureen and I are the only ones here. She's back there in the back by the heater, you know, and I'm up front looking out the window, you know, trying to have a background behind me or something. We weren't singing. Then we finally got Douglas come in and we were singing. So anybody singing at home? I mean, we did this when we were on vacation. But it's kind of, you're sitting there on the couch watching this thing and it's like, am I singing along? I don't have a hymnal, you know. I don't know. It just, you're not connected, all right? You know? And again, he talks about our adversary, the devil. Don't ever forget that. He's always out there. He's always on duty. And it says, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why does a lion roar? You can go home and look that one up. I looked that up. I was looking at it this afternoon. Part of it is that's just what lions do. But it also is, it can kind of paralyze the people, you know, and cause people to be frightened, you know, as well as telling the other lions to stay away. But and it talks about that in different places. But what's he looking for? Looking who he can devour. He wants to destroy us one way or another. He wants to, you know, he can't destroy us without the Lord allowing him to do so. Okay? But he can't take away our salvation. So what's left? What can he destroy about us?
He can kill the worldly things, slothfulness.
Yeah, he can destroy our testimony.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to get mad and have a meltdown in front of people for them to kind of wonder about your testimony. Okay, you can just be a kind of meeky. I can't even say that either. Lukewarm Christian, you know. Maybe the kind of jokes you tell are kind of, well, I think he'd tell jokes like that, or, you know, no. And he's got the unbelievers under his thumb. They don't realize it, but, he says it's like those that are asleep, you know, they don't realize what in the world's going on. There's a lot of world leaders out there, I don't think, that really know what's going on in this world, you know. And the unbelievers don't. You know, they don't know what the future holds. That's why a lot of them are so scared, thinking they're, man, I'm going to die, you know. And so they, I still can remember my eye doctor here last time I went in there. He's got this head thing on. He's got two masks. He's got the paper one and he's got his 95 on top and he's got his rubber or his gloves on, you know, and I don't know. Well, yeah, the COVID might bite you and you might die. Well, you also might get run over by a bus, you know. The gas leaking in your house can explode and you go up like a whatever. All kind of, people die all the time. You know, this isn't You know, amazed that, you know, we've had what, all the black plagues and all this stuff through the centuries, and I don't think people then were hiding under the bed like they're doing now. Now, but then they didn't have the media telling them, be afraid, be afraid. Then they have Fauci up there with a mask, you know, with just a couple of eye holes, you know, big enough for him to see out of, to tell people, you know, gotta stay away, stay away. It's going to be interesting someday to play this tape back, you know, to see how, if what the ending of it is. But the thing is, every day Satan's out there looking, not for a Christian he can knock off. Again, he can't take away our salvation, but if he can get us to shift into neutral, you know, say, get mad at the preacher, get mad at something, and just decide, I'm not going to church anymore, I'm just going to stay home, you know, I'll watch Stanley or whoever else is on TV, and that'd be my church, and you know, he's doing all of that plus a whole lot more to people. And that's why he says we need to put on our spiritual armor. You know, because Satan's, he wants to take us out. We need to realize that. And as he says here, we need that, like the soldier's armor. It was that body covering, the breastplate of faith. And he says it was kind of front and back. He says it's that was their version of being bulletproof. Okay? And we need faith, and we need love as to help defend us against his attacks. And he says, we've got to love one another. You know, and that's not just a good idea, but he says, this is really what we got to do. Now, I realize there's some that make it a challenge. It's almost like, I dare you to love me, you know. I'm going to make it as hard as possible for you to love me. But it's not just, you know, hugging one another, that sort of thing. But it's seeking the other person's highest good without expecting anything in return. And he says, first of all, we're to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul. Everything there is about us, we need to love God like that. And then he says, as our neighbors, as ourselves. And he says, you get those two right, and the rest of the pieces are going to come together, okay? We put God in his rightful place, and then we start treating other people around us like we ought to, not like they maybe treat us. But, and how's loving God going to help us? Okay, it's going to cause us to focus on him, cause us to trust in him, to depend on him. We need his help. And if we don't know that now, if there was some way we could kind of freeze things where they are and then come back to see where we're at a year from now, you know, if all these executive orders and all this other junk come together they're trying to do, we're going to think, we sure had a good back in 21. How about loving our neighbor? How's that going to help us? As we think about expecting the Lord's return, you know, and getting ready and being ready. How about looking beyond ourselves? See, it's awful easy to kind of get stuck on the me and mine. You know, when you think trouble's coming, you're thinking, what do I need to prepare? Well, some might think the rapture is going to be trouble. Well, it is if you're not going. Maybe if we looked at, okay, the rapture is great for us, but it's going to be the worst thing in the world for those that are left behind. You know, it's going to be like hell on earth. It won't be, but it's going to be tainted that way. But he says he's going to change us. He says he's going to change our vile body so that it's going to be like his glorious body. So we live expectantly. We're thinking about it. It could happen today. We're alert. and be alert to some of the things that could happen, right? And we're kind of prepared for it. And then he says, and this I think is part of this, loving your brother, loving your neighbor, is to live unselfishly. And I had written down another verse here, Philippians. I try to quote it here, but I might not get it right, so let me read it. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Okay, so don't just be concerned about yourself. You know, the Lord promises He's going to take care of us. But He says, look at every man on the things of others. Not jealously, not saying, I wish I had what they had, but seeing the plight that they're in, you know? We think, you know, here the other week we're going through and talking about all these people that got cancer and this and that and the other thing, and the hospital. You know, those are pretty serious things. But in light of going to the lake of fire, you know, that's like a cold. It's really not that important. And so what's the most unselfish thing that we could do is to share our faith. And because we're going to get out of here, but they're left behind. And as he says here, God has not appointed us unto wrath, but for those that believe not, they are going to experience the wrath of God on them. And again, we got to make sure that we're not one of these half-awake Christians, that we're not just kind of putting in our time, sluggish, can't seem to kind of get with it. But we need to be on top of our game. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, what happens to the inferior works of the sluggish believers? He says, if any man's work, okay, all of our works are going to be tested when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the stuff that really doesn't amount to much, stuff we've done for ourselves, it's going to go up in flames. He says, if any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so the works we just do for ourselves are going to go up in flames. There's no reward for that. And so we got to get our eyes just off of our stuff. And I'm not 100% sure how we go about doing that, because we've been brought up a good chunk of our lives saying, you got to be good stewards of what you have. You got to take care of what you got. You know, you got to take care of the house and the yard and the cars, and you got to take care of all and your kids, and you take care of all this. Not a whole lot of time left over for somebody else. But God says, folks, part of, again, it's a mental thing. All that stuff that we work so hard at, we're going to leave behind. You know, it's that neighbor that's a pain in the neck, you know, that won't speak to you. Or if they do speak, it's not real kind towards you. Yeah, and somehow to figure out how I can reach out to this guy. Pray for him. Just a couple other verses, then we gotta quit here. But let's see, wrong one. Colossians 3:16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, he says we need to grow in grace. And part of that is being in the word and allowing the word to get into us. You know, he says, I know the Bible. Well, yeah, but again, have we learned it? Is it changing our lives? You know, I have to ask myself that as well. And we better quit. I'll just, in 1 John, you might write this one down. 1 John 2:28 talks about the fact that we might not be ashamed that is coming. You know, we're all going to be doing, well, unless maybe the Lord will come in the middle of the night, we're all going to be sleeping, okay? You know, how much trouble are you into at that point? But how's the Christian, let's say at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, the trumpet blows. And we're out there washing the car, polishing the boat, packing the, you know, putting up the tent. I mean, guys are against some of these things in and of themselves, but when they take his place, you know, they become some kind of other idol. They become more important than God. And so we're not just here throwing rocks at somebody else that doesn't go to church, because we have our own weaknesses and we need to zero in on them. What is it that's, you know, keeping me from thinking about the Lord might come today? And the fact that maybe there's somebody somewhere God wants me to reach out to. You know, maybe they're on the other side of the world. Maybe they're on the other side of the country. Call them up. Write a letter. You know, if you call and they don't like what you hear, they can hang up. I realize they can stop reading if you write them a letter. There's something about that. We don't write letters much anymore. I don't either. I write emails. But the thing is, it's something you can read over and over again. That way you've at least sought, you've done what you can to communicate with them and share the gospel with them. And because we don't know how much time we got left. And the clock is ticking. You know? It's jumping up towards midnight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all need to be stirred in our souls, me included. And Lord, we pray that you continue to impress upon our hearts and minds the need to be watchful, to be excited about the idea of Christ coming back, to be ready ourselves and seeking to ready others along the way, to make whatever changes that we need to make. We need to be good stewards of what you've entrusted us with, but you've also entrusted us with the truth. And the souls are what's going to last for eternity and that could go with us at the rapture. All the rest of that stuff that we can find ourselves spending time on are going to be left behind for somebody else to fight over. We just pray you'll make us... Help us to have the wisdom we need in making those right choices, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.